I think we'll go ahead and get started in the spirit of time. Thank you all for joining us over the lunch hour. And I've also been reminded by our friendly room monitors to please make sure to keep your bags with close proximity to you and for the sake of safety. So as we get started, I wanted to contextualize this conversation and introduce our speakers to you all. So many of you have heard, while you've been here at this conference, the concept of a culture of health. And I'm Katie Weir. I'm a program officer at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And the culture of health for us is epitomized in this framework that I put in front of you, with really the four action areas of how we make health a shared value, how we foster collaboration across sectors, strengthen the integration of health systems and services, and create healthy, more equitable communities, really moving forward in this effort to build better population health. And I think you'll see in our panel today the ways that this is really coming together, especially as we focus in on that cross-sector collaboration and what it takes to ensure that we not only have health in all policies and health in all practices, but what that means so that we can have health in all people. And just exactly what that means for the leadership and skills within the leaders that are making this change possible, and how we can continue to make health a matter of fact, not a matter of chance. So with that, let me introduce our speakers. You have their bios online, so I'm not going to go deep into that. But wanted to introduce our speakers from the context of how do we continue to tell this better health story with various partners. So here, and I'll go in order, here sitting at the panel is Julie Willem-Van Dyke. She's with the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute and is going to be talking about those skills, that boundary-spanning leadership skills to help work across sectors. Next to her is Tanisha Carino, who is with GSK, and will be providing us with a business perspective. Next to her is Linda Langston, who's a board of supervisor within Linn County, Iowa, and is going to give the perspective from a county official. And at the far end of the table is Amy Gilman with Local Initiative Support Corporation, as well as Tracy Capers, who is with the Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation, who is going to provide that community development perspective and what it means to build healthy communities. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Julie.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're all hypoglycemic, I think. I have no financial disclosures to make. So my job here for the next 10 minutes or so is to set the stage for my incredible partners who will come after me. And so I first want to make the case for why cross-sector collaboration is really important if we're going to create health, and particularly if we're going to do it through a health and all policies approach. And then I'm going to spend a few moments thinking about what are some of the best practices for how we can move multi-sector partnerships forward. So I'm speaking to the choir to put a model like the County Health Rankings picture of health up on the screen. I think most of us in this room would agree that there are many factors that influence how long we live and how well we live, and that we must focus not only on clinical care, but creating healthy places where it's easy to make healthy choices, to focus on social and economic factors that drive health, to focus on community systems, community safety, community places. To do that, we have to have more than one sector to move that forward. We certainly can't expect public health practitioners to do all that, nor can we just look at our business colleagues and say, that's your issue, or our elected officials, or our community development partners, but it is together that we must all come to focus on health as a collective. So most of you know the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps, where I work primarily as a data program, but it's really about not just data, but how do we translate data into action. So if you've never been to countyhealthrankings.org, I invite you to visit our site and to not only look at the data piece on countyhealthrankings.org, but move to the Roadmaps to Health Action Center, which is based on this model of action. If you look at the steps around the outside of that model, most of you will recognize it as a very typical community health improvement cycle. I call it a community health improvement action cycle, not planning cycle, because it really is about how we take our incredible assessments and improvement plans and put them into action in our community. But most importantly for today, I would like you to look at the very center of that model, which is community members. And we cannot do this work without focusing solidly on the people of our community and bringing them with us as full, authentic, engaged partners in not only determining how we can move health forward, but also guiding how we do that. And then we surround community members with leaders from business, with leaders from elected government, with leaders from community development and public health and healthcare and philanthropy and education and the faith-based community and the nonprofit community to all come together to think about how we move action forward. So that's the case. We all need to be here. We all need to do this together if we want to create health. But I think we've all had situations where we started to work with people who are really different than us and run into roadblocks, run into stalemate, run into conflict. And so I want to spend a few moments thinking about, A, why does that happen, and B, what are some of the practices that can take us beyond that? So part of this goes to how we think about leadership. So in most of our organizations, in government, in corporate America, we function in a very dependent leadership structure. There's clear accountability for what each of us should do. There's clear authority about who's calling the shots. And so we're very accustomed to working in a structure where authority and accountability are well defined. Other places where we experience leadership are in more independent leadership systems, where everybody's kind of doing their own thing, and there's someone in the middle kind of coordinating stuff, but we're all off doing our own thing. I like to say this is the university structure, for those of you in the room who are academics. Each faculty member out with their own program of research and their own courses to teach, and there's some coordination through the dean's office or the school, but we're really independent operators oftentimes. Neither of these leadership models are really what we pursue when we move into cross-sector, multi-sector partnerships in communities. Because when we move into communities, the clear accountability and authority is not there. The independence can cost us. And so we really need to strive to be effective to move to interdependent leadership. So how does that happen? Our friends at the Center for Creative Leadership have spent years studying effective cross-sector collaborations in government, in the military, in industry, in healthcare, in nonprofit organizations, and out of that research, they have brought forth a model called boundary-spanning leadership. And you'll see that boundary-spanning leadership is really the capability to create direction, alignment, and commitment across different groups in service to a higher vision or higher collaborative goal. Direction, alignment, and commitment, core building blocks of how we come together across sectors to move a common goal forward. And what our colleagues at CCL will tell us is there are three primary strategies for doing that, and within each of these three, there's two practices. So I'll spend just about 5 minutes giving you a 30,000-foot view of this. So the first area is managing boundaries, the second is forging common ground, and the last is discovering new frontiers. Now what I'm going to propose to you, and I want you to listen for this as I describe these, is what often makes our collaborations weaker is that we start in the middle. We come together, we invite people to a table, we say, come join us to solve obesity in our community, to eliminate poverty, to address the high cost of housing, to improve education rates, and everybody comes to the table, and then we think we're having this great kumbaya moment, and then things start to unravel. And it's because we jumped in the middle. So here's what this model would tell us about what we should do. So in terms of managing boundaries, there's two best practices: buffering and reflecting. So buffering is about first defining our boundaries. It's about being really clear about what we're bringing to the table, what values we have, what's a negotiable for us and what's a non-negotiable for us, what kind of decision-making authority we have coming to that table, and being very self-aware about that and being able to articulate what are my boundaries by being here at this multi-sector table. And the outcome of really good buffering is that we enter that situation with a strong sense of safety. Once we've done that own self-awareness, we're in a position to move to the second best practice, which is reflecting. And when we reflect, we start to share that self-awareness with others at the table so that we can build understanding about what each of us is bringing to that situation. The outcome of reflecting, then, is respect. So the first two practices build safety and respect. Then, once we have done that work to understand our own boundaries and start to understand our partner's boundaries, only then are we ready to work to move into forging common ground. And there are two best practices here: connecting and mobilizing. So in connecting, we suspend our boundaries and we start to build mutual confidence and mutual trust with each other. This is where new relationships are built. This is where you have the coalition, which actually I saw happening with our panel today, where they are starting to trust each other and think about what they can do beyond this panel. So we did some really good boundary spanning team in our initial phone calls to identify what our boundaries were, and now sharing those boundaries and now moving towards how we have trust in new relationships to move forward. And then, as we build that trust, and as Stephen Covey said, and lots of us quote all the time, change happens at the speed of trust. It shows how important this element is. Then we're ready to mobilize. And this is where we start to reframe the boundaries. We start to build common ownership, common belonging, common accountability to establish that alignment that we need to move forward to build new solutions to tough community problems like obesity, housing, poverty. And then finally, once we have safety, respect, trust, and community through these first four practices, we are now ready to discover new frontiers, and that is where really the magic does happen to move new solutions forward. So the last two practices are weaving, where we interlace our boundaries with each other and create that sense of interdependence on each other. It's really where we're able to tap the differences from our group and really create new and innovative solutions. And then finally, transforming, which is where we get reinvention and we have that opportunity. I love this model because you can see everybody's together in the middle, but there's still the opportunity to move out to the edges, that there's still, we don't give up our own individual boundaries and perspectives, but we make decisions about when it's best to be together and best to be separate, and we value the great synergy that happens when we get in the middle of that group together. Now, that was a 5-minute, 30,000-foot view of a really complex model of how to do boundary spanning. So what I encourage you to do are two things. One is visit the Roadmaps to Health Action Center and go to work together, where we have lots more information about boundary spanning leadership. Second, visit the Center for Creative Leadership website. It's ccl.org, and they have more information about this. And third, listen for buffering, mobilizing, reflecting, connecting, weaving, and transforming in the stories you'll hear from our four remaining panelists.